So good to see you all. I am very excited. This is such a glorious day. We are having baptisms today, and as you all know, I love baptisms, and I can see you do too. Yeah, sort of, kind of. No, we love. It's such an awesome time. The mission trip for El Salvador. Next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet. We're going to do that in April. We're going to get a team together and see what the Lord does down there. So if that's on your heart, if the Lord has laid that El Salvador, that church down there, those people that are down there that want to worship Jesus, if you feel like you need to go, hey, pray. And if finances are an issue, don't let it be an issue. The Lord always provides. If he'll have you go, the Lord will provide. And one last thing, it has to be mentioned. George. We love George. I have mentioned, I told George, I went and talked to him personally this earlier today. First, I told him to repent. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I said, George, if you win next week, I'm going to bring you up here and I'm going to ask you some questions. Okay, so chili cook-off. So stay after the second service. I don't know if you're planning to or not, but we're going to have that baptism. We're going to have a great time. We have some snacks and food. And we have some awesome ladies that know how to cook and bake. And not that that should be, a motivator, but it does help a little bit. All right, will you pray with me? That's a yes. All right, let's do it. Lord, we just love you. We praise you. You're so good to us. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. We're so grateful. Lord, you're doing a work in us. You're growing us. You're maturing us. I pray that as we walked into this place, I pray that your presence was felt. And now, even now, Lord, you'll pour out your spirit upon your people, that your word would go out powerfully, Lord, that it would touch the heart of every individual here, including myself, that you would wash over us, Lord, by your word, whether it is a corrective word or whether it is an encouraging word, it is your word and it is infallible and it is inerrant. And Lord, we receive it. And so we want to hear from you this morning. And so we thank you. May you be glorified. It is in your name, Jesus, we pray. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. So we just finished 1 Peter. And so where are we at now? Yeah, you guys cheated. You saw the screen. But yes, 2 Peter. And the title of my message this morning is Let's Keep Growing. Let's keep growing. And listen, we want to keep growing in the Lord, don't we? We do not want to be stagnant. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to grow in Jesus. And that's where we're at this morning. Now, we finished up 1 Peter last week. And as we begin in 2 Peter, the Word of God, because we always look to the Word of God. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and someone will get one to you. And if not, 2 Peter chapter 1, open up your Bibles. I think I should have said that earlier, but just in case. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that this letter is written to the same group of churches as in Peter's first letter. And so, in fact, listen to what it says. It says, Beloved, that's you, that's me. I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. And so 2 Peter is written from Rome. Peter, it's believed he was in prison at this time. And shortly after his first letter, and it was written somewhere between 66, 64 to 67 AD. There's no certain date, just approximately. And so Peter is writing, listen, Peter is writing his final letter before his death. Before his death. In chapter 1, verse 14, we're going to read not this week, but next week, that Peter tells us that he will soon be put to death for his faith, for living out his faith. And so 2 Peter and 2 Timothy carry the same tone. 2 Timothy is Paul's swan song, if you would, his last letter before his death, and 2 Peter is Peter's last letter before his death. And both men understand that their time draws near, and this is their last message to the church in their time and to us. So think about that for a moment. This is their last, this is his last letter. He says, this is the last thing I'm writing. And so both of them emphasize how important it is to study the Word of God in order to grow into who God wants us to be. And both warn about the dangers that false prophets are to the church. And 1 Peter, where 1 Peter, it's about persecution, it's about the grace of God, it's about living in a world that maybe is rejecting you and is rejecting Christ. 2 Peter is mainly about false teachers. And what is the best way to combat false teachings, church? Amen. The Word of God. It's the Word of God. The best way to combat false teachings and teachers, it is to know the Word of God, knowing His Word, knowing the Bible. Why? Because there's a lot of teachings out there, guys. And you may have this teaching, you may have Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, you may have, I mean, Islam, you may have all these different religions, all these different things, and you would spend a lifetime trying to learn what they say and get nowhere. But if you know the Word of God, when things are said, it's like, listen, that's not what the Word of God says. Do you believe in God's Word? Because this is what it says. And so the best way is knowing the Word of God, because God's Word never changes. It is perfect. Amen. And it is inerrant. And it changes us. It molds us. It shapes us. And it saves us. And so all of the Bible is worthy of careful study. But I think that the final letter of a dying apostle deserves even a closer look. Amen. So let's take a look at Peter's final letter together. Verse 1, we're actually going to read all 11 verses. You ready? All right. Simon Peter, notice it starts off different than 1 Peter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You're like, what did we just read? We're not done. We're going to break all this down. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, in light of this, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I feel like this should be amen, amen, and amen to that. Yes, yes. But that's just my feelings. God's word is perfect, so it doesn't have it. And so come on back with me to verse 1. Look at verse 1. Let's take a look at verse 1 together. Notice it says Simon Peter. That's how Peter begins his second letter. It's different than his first. In his first letter, he simply identifies himself as Peter. Here, he identifies himself as Simon Peter, both the name his parents gave him and the name Jesus gave him. Also, before he mentions that he is an apostle, he notes that he is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, the word bondservant is the Greek word doulos. A doulos is a slave who had been set free or is being set free, has the option at this point, but chooses to stay with his master because he loves him. And so Peter, at the end of his life, he declares that he chose to be a slave to Jesus Christ to the very end because he loves him. Keep in mind, he's about to die. And so Peter says, Peter is a slave. He says, I'm a slave by choice and an apostle by calling. And I love that. Next, notice what's next there. Peter tells us generally who he's writing to, meaning we read the previous verse to the churches, but he's writing to us. He's writing to Christians. And so notice what it says. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, have you obtained like precious faith, like Peter's precious faith? Have you obtained that faith as well? Well, if you're a Christian today, yes, you have. You have the same faith. You have been saved in the same manner that Peter was. And so Peter here, he is addressing this letter to fellow Christians. And we as believers have obtained the same faith as he, the righteousness that only comes through our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice also that Peter calls Jesus God. Did you catch that? Paul does the same thing in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. In it, he says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're like, well, Pastor, that's pretty obvious, okay? Why do you mention that? Well, the reason why I mention that is because there's some out there that say that the Bible doesn't say that Jesus is God. And that's just simply wrong. That person that would say something like that is simply a person that does not read their Bible. I would say to that person, start at Matthew and end in Revelation. It is all over the place. And in fact, listen to what Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, the last book of the New Testament says. There Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty. There's only one Almighty, guys. And he is the second person of the Godhead, the Trinity. I know that that's very difficult to understand, but he is God. Well, Peter moves on from here now. Take a look at verse 4 with me. He moves on to the greeting. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Don't you love that? Peter says, that grace that God has shed upon you, that peace, I want that peace to be multiplied in your life. I want it to be overflowing in your life. That is his desire for the church. As he's dying, he says, oh man, I just want you to know the fullness of this incredible grace and peace that God has lavished upon us. And notice he says, how in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Yahweh, the Father, and of Jesus, our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. Did you see that? All things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Peter says, you have received everything you need. Christian, church, do you know that you have everything you need to live out your faith in this life and onto eternity? You have everything you need. God has given us this and he has blessed us. Notice what else it says. I'm going to talk more about that in a second. He says, through the knowledge of him, of Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us. What has been given to us? Notice that word, exceedingly. That's a lot, guys. Exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so what he's saying here is that when we were saved, when we came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and received him as our Lord and Savior, when we were born again, spiritually born again, we became partakers of his divine nature. We received eternal life. And that's an awesome, awesome gift. And we received everything. Listen, we received all things, everything we need for living a godly life. We receive this Holy Spirit in us who empowers us and strengthens us and teaches us and you can fill in the blanks. We have received this perfect word with instructions for every aspect of our lives. You hear once in a while, oh man, you know, I just wish kids came with an instruction manual. Here it is. Oh man, you know, marriage is hard. I just never knew how it's done. I wish we had some instructions for it. Here it is. It's right here. Well, you know, I didn't, my dad, and you know, just loving doesn't come easy to me. I had a heart. I don't know how to do that. Right here, guys. Right here. This Bible has everything you and I need to live. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, you can repeat it with me, by the mouth of God. We have everything we need. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. Church, the problem is not the word of God. The problem is whether we will live it out or not. That is the problem. Now, we of ourselves, in our own strength, cannot live a godly life. We cannot be victorious in certain areas of our lives. How many of you have tried quitting something? How many of you, maybe before you came to know the Lord, you're like, man, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to stop this, and how did that go? How did that go? Or maybe after you became a Christian, you're still battling with things. There's vices that are just over you, and you're like, I can't get rid of this. Why? Because you're saying, I can't get rid of this. You're right. You can't. I can't. But praise God that I don't have to. He has given me everything I need. He has given me His Holy Spirit. He has given me His Word and His divine power through His Holy Spirit to be able to have victory over these things. He has given me also a new nature. He has given you a new nature, one that desires God and one that is deeply aware of sin. Listen, what is this new nature? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He has given us His Holy Spirit. He has given us His Word. He has empowered us. And He has given us a new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Some of you may know this verse by memory, by heart. Look at what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is changed. Is that what it says? He's helping him halfway. No, it says he is a new creation, something new. When we receive the Lord as our Savior, what happens is there's a new birth. And it's been described this way. It's been described like those, what do you call those worms that make a cocoon and they come out as a butterfly? There you go, caterpillar. Yes, thank you. George, where were you, my friend? Yes. Like those caterpillars, right? They do this and they become a cocoon. And then what happens? When they spread out of that thing, they're totally new. They're totally new. They don't eat the same. They don't do the same. They don't crawl. It's a totally new. That is the life of a Christian when they're born again. A new creation. And notice what else it says. Old things, our old lives have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our old lives, they're done. Jesus says they're done with. They're no longer part of your life. I've given you a new slate. Now, the problem is that the old man lives in there. And you can resurrect it. You can let it come on up. You can give in to it. But you no longer have to. You're no longer a slave to sin. Now, we are led by the Spirit of God. At least we should be. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God supernaturally gave us everything we need to live a godly life. Oh, and when we were saved, we received exceedingly great and precious promises. I love that. The Word of God is full of promises for you and for me. So many promises in the Word of God. I love the fact that God says, hey, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask. And he will give us liberally in bucketfuls. He says, if you lack wisdom, hey, come to me. Pray, ask, and I will give it to you. I'm like, Lord, your word says this. I certainly need wisdom right now. I need wisdom for this decision. Oh, your word says this. Listen, when you pray, call upon the word of the Lord on his promises, because God can't lie. He's given you a promise. And so he says that we have received, Peter says that we have received exceedingly great and precious promises. And I love what he says in his first epistle that we just finished. In chapter 1, if you recall, he says that we have an inheritance in heaven. That's a promise. I love that promise. We also read that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. That's a promise. I love that promise. I love that God has something to say in my salvation. And look, that's a big conversation. But there is a free will, and there is the will of God. And so these are promises. I'm like, Lord, you're able to keep me. There's so many promises in the Bible for the Christian. Great and precious promises. I love what Isaiah 55:11 says. Listen, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That means God's word goes out, and what he says is going to happen will happen. It will be accomplished. I love that promise. I love also the promises of salvation. Romans 10:10, listen to what it says. And there are many promises of salvation, but listen to what Romans 10:10 says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, here, you confess and believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise. And that's why from time to time, almost every week, we give an invitation for those that don't know Jesus. And we call them out publicly like Jesus did. And this is exactly it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he is Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead, meaning he paid for your sins, he died at the cross, he was buried, and he rose again, the Bible says, you will be saved. He will forgive you. You put your trust in him. For, it continues, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13. Whoever, that means anybody, whoever, it doesn't matter, the worst, the most vile criminal, if they repent, listen to what it says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God says you got a brand new slate. You're born again. You're brand spanking new. Have you ever gotten, well, mom's new baby? You're like, ah, new baby smell. Yeah, my wife used to keep the clothes like forever because she didn't want that to go. I'm like, those things are falling apart now, honey. It's time to let go. But that's neither here nor there. Brand new, a new birth. Now, there's still consequences in this world. There's still things, there's still law, there's still order. But God says, I'm giving you a brand new life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, that's such a good one. Oh, but I love this one. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, underline that, highlight that, memorize that. Because we all go through difficult times in our lives. We all go through sickness, job loss, whatever it is, name it. You will go through something. I will go through something. We have gone through many things. And sometimes we're like, Lord, where are you in this? I can't feel you. Lord, I need you. Have you left me? And I said, oh, no. God said he will never leave me or forsake me. He is with me. I just saw a video that came across my feed this week. Maybe you saw it. It's a video of a Christian dads and daughters that they go to this Christian camp. And they took a dad. They took the dads and the daughters, right? But this particular dad, he says that they took the dad and the daughter into the woods and they blindfolded the daughter. And they told the dad, listen, this exercise, we're going to blindfold her and you need to guide your daughter blindfolded through the woods. And this was a group. And they said to the dad, you are to give your daughter three instructions, just three before you begin. And repeat them as many times as you can or as many times as you want to. And these were the instructions that were given. Are you hearing me? Ready? Write them down. I will never leave you. He used to tell his daughter, I will never leave you. You can ask me anything. You should only listen to the sound of my voice. Those are the three instructions. And so the dad repeated it over and over and over to the daughter. And in the beginning it was easy. You see, because the dad put his hand on his daughter's shoulder, and as they walked hand in hand with his hand on her shoulder, they walked and they talked together. It was easy. They were going through the woods. But then the camp counselor signaled the dad to remove his hand off his daughter's shoulder. And shortly after, the counselor then silently signaled the dad not to speak. Unless, remember the instructions, unless she remembers the instructions that she could ask him anything. And so, they started to get off track on their hike. As you can imagine, now there's distance, they're getting off track. And so the counselor came to the daughter and he says, how about you follow me and I will get you caught up with the group. And so the counselor walked the daughter into a ditch in front of a tree. The daughter doesn't realize that she is in a ditch, that there's a tree standing, it is in front of her. I mean, she's blindfolded. And all of a sudden, she's just there. All the while, the dad is standing nearby, watching and waiting. And so, she thought for a couple minutes, and then she said four words, Dad, are you there? And the dad began to bawl, to cry. He could see where she was at, and it's like, oh. And he says, yes, I'm here. How many times have we as Christians forgotten these simple, precious promises from a Heavenly Father? And all we have to say is, Dad, are you here? The instructions were, I will never leave you. You can ask me anything. You should only listen to the sound of my voice. There's many voices out there, church. The social media, there is things all over the place. There are teachers, and then there's so-called teachers. There's good ones, there's bad ones, but there's so much information that there's an overload in your lives, in our lives. We should only listen to the sound of our Heavenly Father. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so, we have received exceedingly great and precious promises. And since we have received these incredible promises, Peter wants us to do something. Take a look at verse 5 and 6 with me. But also, for this very reason, for what reason? What we just talked about, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Notice that love is last. It just overflows. Peter wants us to grow. His last letter to the church, and he's saying, I want you to grow. And since we have received all things pertaining to life and godliness, and because we have received exceedingly great and precious promises, we are to make every effort to grow spiritually. As a Christian, we're either growing or we're backsliding. There's really nothing in between. Listen, being a lukewarm Christian doesn't mean you're here. It means you're backsliding. And here's the problem with being a lukewarm Christian, is that you don't have discernment. You are not growing, because he's going to tell us right now in a minute, we're going to read some of these repercussions of not doing that. We need to grow in the word of God, in the knowledge of him. And Peter says, don't just come and know the Lord. Don't just get your fire insurance. Don't stay there. Keep growing. And then he tells us how we're to do this. He says, to your faith, because you need saving faith, right? Add virtue. What is virtue? Moral goodness or purity. It's an action. And to virtue, add knowledge. We're to learn the word of God. And to knowledge, self-control. We need to be Christians that have self-control, that the Spirit of God is the one that leads us, that the Spirit of God has authority over our lives along with his word. We're no longer to be under the control of sin, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And to self-control, we're to add perseverance. Perseverance, I love that word. Listen, perseverance is an awesome word. Some may say, I don't like that. That is just tiring. It sounds tiring. Oh, yeah. There's some of you in here, some that wrestle, some that do jits, some that do sports. There's so many examples in life. And listen, we need to persevere. And persevere means we need to stay in the fight. Listen, don't give up. Don't give up. If you persevere, that's when you're going to grow leaps and bounds. If you're like, man, I'm going to get through this hard time, this tough time, all of a sudden you just grow. However, here's the thing, is that when you don't do that, all of a sudden you just fall right on back. You fall right on back. The same thing, and there's no learning, there's no growing. And this perseverance is really a basic principle of life, church. Whether you are in the gym, in sport, learning a job, or anything else, if you quit, you will never grow. And every time you give up, every time you quit, it is easier to quit the next time. Don't hinder your growth. Now, I just want to make sort of a relation, try to relate this also to God's calling upon a person's life. Or better said, those that don't know the Lord, that hear the word of God, hear the gospel message, and they say no. And they hear the call of God, the Spirit of God calling them, and they know they're to respond, but they don't want to give up their sins. They don't want to repent. And they say, no, I don't want it. Then the next time it's a little easier to say, no, I'm just not going to do that. And a little easier. The time is going to come where God is no longer going to knock on your door. I don't know when that is. He is patient. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. But know that giving up, quitting, just becomes easier. And so to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Peter then says, to your perseverance, to our perseverance, add godliness. That's reverence. Do it in a manner that honors God. Do it the right way. And to godliness, he says, add brotherly kindness. And to kindness, love. You can do something kind, but without love, Paul says it profits nothing. If you notice that, as we read, that all these attributes are attributes of God, of Jesus, as we add to our faith all these things, we will start looking more and more like Jesus. And that's the point. That's the point, that we're to grow more and more in our faith. Ever growing. Ever receiving the word of God. Ever applying it in our lives. And the last thing, note, as I said earlier, is love. Agape love. Supernatural, godly love. A 1 Corinthians 13 love, where Paul gives us a definition. Agape love is love that simply loves because you are my brother or my sister. That is it. It's love that says, I'm not looking for anything in return. It's just simply just the love of God flowing through the life of a believer unto others. It is not a natural love because there's always something in there that causes us to love or not or this or that. God's love is like, man, he gives you love for people. He gives you a love, and some of you know what that is. I mean, we should all know what that is, but some of you know because it's also a gift. Paul says, oh, these gifts, the spiritual gifts, that's great. But he says, I'll show you a more excellent way. And he goes on for a whole chapter in regards to love. Because there was a time when we were doing whatever it was, and we didn't really care. We're like, there was not love in our hearts. There was love in a sense with, you know, as we would know it. But then we came to know the Lord, and it's like, man, there's something different. And, you know, and I'm like, what is this thing coming out of my eye? What's, you know, you men know. No, you don't, right? We don't know that stuff. It's like love for people. And so Peter, in his last letter to the church before he was killed, for his faith, encourages the church to spiritually grow, to spiritually mature, not to stay in an arrested state. Listen to what Hebrews 5:12 says. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, it says, man, it's been time. How many years has it been? You should be a teacher by now. However, you need someone to teach you the basic things of the Word of God. And then he goes on and says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's a baby. And he says, if you're just drinking milk, you're not growing. And listen, there's many churches out there, they just give a little bit of milk and the congregation is not going. People are not growing. And they get into the same thing and they're living lives that are just, they're just not walking in the Word of God and in the life that God has called us to. Now, this does not say that we don't go through things, but it's how we go through things. And so he says, if that's all you're doing, just milk, just the basic things, that's not where you should be. And then he goes on, it says, for he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who have grown, have matured. That is, those who by reason of use, in other words, they apply God's word in their life. They use God's word and they said, this is how we use it, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They have godly discernment. Spiritual maturity is evident by a transformed life, a life that God is using. A person will have discernment in the word of God and how to apply it in their lives and also in the lives of others. When somebody comes and they say, listen, this is going on in my life, and it's like, hey, you know, what do you think? You're like, say, I don't have to tell you what I think. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. This is what it says, and this is what we are to do. And then that person goes away just knowing that they're heard from the Lord. And it's not opinions, it's not this. And you know right where to take them because God's Word is relevant. And they're not getting some funky opinion or whatever it is that they want to hear. Because oftentimes we shop, right, for the opinion we want. You guys never do that, right? Not you, not this church, not Calvary Chapel of Cicada. They don't do that. But some people shop. They're like, I don't like what they told me. Let me go over here. Listen, this is really what I want to hear. So I'm just going to go and shop and shop and shop. Now you need the Word of God. And so maturity, we have the Word of God. We have everything we need, guys, everything. And Peter says the same thing in verses 8 through 9. Take a look at verses 8 through 9 with me. For if these things are yours and abound, the things we just talked about, if they're yours, if you're owning them, they abound. God says, I have so much of this. They abound in your life. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be fruit in your lives. Our lives will be changed. It will be transformed. We will understand and know Jesus more and more, and we will be more and more like him. There will be a blessing upon our lives, and God will use our lives even more. However, there's a contrast to this. Look at verse 9. For he, this is the person that doesn't, for he who lacks these things, they're not applying these things in their lives. They're not taking the word of God serious. They don't want to do this. It's short-sighted. Like, short-sighted, even to blindness. They can't see. They're like, just right here, that's all they can see. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. The person who lacks these things fails to add to their faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, kindness, and love, fails to grow spiritually. That person has forgotten what he was saved from. They have forgotten the grace of God that has been poured upon their lives. They have forgotten how much they have been forgiven. And listen, a person that is not mature in the Lord, that has forgotten these things, lives in the flesh, and therefore they're not gracious, and they're not going to be kind because they have not been transformed, warned. We're all being transformed, okay? And so the answers may not be kindness. In Matthew 18, 21 through 35, Peter comes to Jesus, and he has a question for him. You don't have to turn there. It's a lot, but if you want to, you can. It's Matthew 18, verse 21. He says, then Peter came to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Peter says, up to seven times? He says, Lord, I've grown. You know, seven times is pretty good, huh, Lord? If he sins, I can imagine seeing him there saying, yeah, that's a good answer. Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That's growth. That's growth. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. By the way, this is an unpayable debt. There's no way for him to pay it. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and that his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Notice, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. He didn't say, you have to pay me. Let me give you a really good Black Friday discount. He didn't say that. He forgave him his debt. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a fraction of what he owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begging him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then his master, after he had called them, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart, notice, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Listen, we have been forgiven an unforgivable debt. The wages of sin is death. Death. And Jesus says, I will pay. I will pay for his sin, her sin, I will pay for the sins of humanity. And then, what do? We go out and grab people by the throat. And we have to remember what we have been saved from, what we have been forgiven. And so 2 Peter, verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10, he continues. He says, therefore, in light of this, brethren, family, Christian, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're saved. Okay? That could be a big old conversation here, guys. It's a lot. I'm not going to get into it, but it says, hey, if you're saved, act like it. Act like it. For if you do these things, notice, if you, what does it say? Do these things, not hear them, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. If we do these things, if we apply these things that we have just heard today in our lives, listen, you have heard a lot of things today. I hope you were underlining. I hope you have your Bible. I hope you were highlighting. If you're a note taker, I'm hoping you took notes. That's great, but also in your heart, those notes, and say, Lord, help me apply this. If you do these things, he says, for the Christian, that we were going to have a more sure footing in a Christian walk. It's like this visual. You know, have you ever walked in sandals and you have some rough terrain? It doesn't even have to be rough terrain for me, the grass, and all of a sudden you just sprain your ankle or something and you stumble. What you're doing is you're trading in your sandals for some quality, expensive hiking boots. And Peter says, if you do these things, apply these things, it's like a brand new, wonderful pair of hiking boots and you will never stumble. Verse 11, look, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I love that. Heaven awaits. Church, I know what it's like to fall on my face. I know it very, very well. Maybe more than some of you, maybe less than some of you. But I've fallen on my face. When I came in to know the Lord a couple years into it, I fell hard. And listen, I never, ever want to do that again. There's a question of salvation. Can you lose salvation or not, or this or that? Stay close to Jesus. You don't have to worry about that stuff. These things have been debated. I don't see why we debate that stuff. It's just draw near to him. Stay close to him. And we don't have to worry about. Know that you never want to go back to that place again. I never want to go back to that place again. I want to walk with my brand new boots right into heaven. Amen. Can I have the worship team come on up? Listen, Jesus has saved you. For those of you that are here, I don't know if there's some here that don't know Jesus, have not been saved, but Jesus has saved you. He has empowered you. He has equipped you. And so, let's grow together. Let's grow together. He has given everything we need for life and godliness. And we just need to grow. Peter, his last words to the church is encouraging us to grow. And why is this so important? Well, we're going to read next week or the following week in chapter 2. Because remember, there's false teachers out there. We need to grow in the Lord. There's a lot of snares in the world, guys. We know that. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just reminded of your kindness. I pray that we would be here this morning and that we would remember that we've been saved and what we've been saved from, the wretchedness of our sins, that you've given us heaven, that heaven awaits, that you love us. Lord, and you've given us everything we need. Can't do it on our own, nor do you expect us to do it on our own. You've given us your Holy Spirit, your word. Pray that this would be a church that we would use it, that we would grow. And Lord, your word says in Jude, not to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, that is you, and to present you faultless before the presence of his holy glory with exceeding joy. Jesus, you can keep us. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. In church, while we're in an attitude of prayer, maybe you're here and don't know Jesus. Maybe you're here and you've heard it before, maybe over and over again. The time will come where you will no longer hear the word of God. And you go into eternity the same way you lived your life here, without God. Eternity is simple. There's one area where God is not and one area where God is. Where God is not, everything evil is there because God is light, he is good, he is love. And the absence of God, all his goodness, all his character is a dark, awful place. But then there's the presence of God and his love and his grace and his mercy. And that's what he wants for you. And he gave his son to die for you because you cannot pay your debt. There's many reasons why people don't come to the Lord, or excuses, I should say. Some may say, I'm not worthy, and you say, absolutely, join the club. Some may even think, man, I deserve that. Yes, we do. But that's the devil. God says, I want to save you. Some may say, well, I don't know. That means I got to give up my sin. Yes, you should. Now, you're not going to be perfect. We're babies when we're born again, and God would just walks us with us. And he grows us. He strengthens us. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And so if you're here today, I would ask you to raise your hand and we'll pray a prayer together. And you can give your life to Jesus. And I promise you this, your life will never, ever, ever be the same. If that is you, raise your hand. Raise your hand where I can see it. Don't allow the enemy to rob you, really, from eternity. Well, I trust that we're all brothers and sisters here this morning. However, if you want to do this privately, there'll be people up here that'll be happy to pray with you. I will say this, though, that Jesus always called people publicly. Start on the right footing. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. It is in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last thing.